Israelite people began a journey that would change everything. They packed up their belongings, they donned their traveling cloaks, and they crossed out of the fertile land of Egypt and their bondage within it into the barren desert where they wandered for 40 years. They walked from bondage into desolation, from captivity into starvation, and even when their burdens were the greatest, when they would have given almost anything for water to drink or food to eat, they carried with them that one thing they could not put down, the bones of their ancestors. They humped them across a continent. They schlepped them over desert sands. They stood up day after day to bear those burdens and never dared imagine putting them down. Among those ancestors was Joseph, and Joseph's bones were borne across the desolate wastes on the backs of his brothers and sisters, and only when they came at long last to their homeland was that burden put down, and the great man and all he represented to his people was laid to rest in the soil that was his father's, father's, father's land. For 40 years until they finally came home, they carried the memory of his death with them and the memory of his life. They carried the tragic fact of their exile with them, and though his bones had weight, it was a weight worth carrying, because bearing it relieved an even greater burden. Those few pounds of bone and dust relieved the people's burden of being alone in a strange place without family or memories or roots or security. Their weight was a reminder of the people's heritage, their home, their courage. Their weight was a reminder that this terrible journey they had begun together had a purpose, some reason behind the suffering. All that they did was for the chance to have a home again, for a distant place where they and the people they loved might be safe. And when the Israelites in the desert had no home, no place, no safety, no security, nor even enough food, in absence of those things, they had these dry bones. And they did not dare to put them down, not even when they crossed over into the most frightening of desert places and could not see their way out. For if they were to put down their father's bones, they would put down their hope, their reason, their guiding force that led them through the wilderness. I am sure the Israelites dropped a great many things along the way. At the hopeful beginnings of the Passover journey, I imagine that they started out carrying a whole bunch of stuff. I picture mothers clinging to their rolling pins and children to their favorite toys, carts and donkeys and wagons loaded down with the heavy and precious stuff of the people. But you can only make it so far in the desert with the burden of all your stuff. Eventually, even Grandma's rolling pin gets tossed into the shifting sand when you've got no dough to knead, no food to eat. The burdens the people chose to carry must have changed over 40 years of desolation and travel. There must have been a veritable trail of household goods scattered across the Sinai as they left behind all the unnecessary burdens and carried instead only what they must, those bones. Those bones they took along with them through all of the desert places. War is a desert place. Literally, for at least a generation of veterans, and figuratively for the entire span of human history, it is a place that is barren of the comforts of home, burdened by fear, by rootlessness, and by exile from all we hold dear enough to fight for. And yet the slim percent of the U.S. population who serves in combat duty in the armed forces carries with them into those desert places the burdens of us all. Our hopes, our fears, our anger, our bitterness, our yearning for a world in which the very wars that they fight in will not be necessary or even possible. They carry those burdens with them into the desert places of this earth and into the desert places of their own souls. They fight with the weight of our hopes and our opinions and our ever-present judgment into those jungles and those sand dunes and those ancient towns reduced to cinders beneath their feet. veterans of our wars know what it is to carry the burdens of all those they leave behind. They go into the wilderness for many reasons. For family, for financial security, for a new beginning. Some, including some of you, went in because you had no choice, because that's what your country demanded of you. Some went because it was their chance to be of service and they could do no other. Soldiers know what it is to hump 40 miles or 40 days in desolate spaces, carrying the burdens of all that they love. They also know what it is to schlep the great and pressing weight that is all their own. Tim O'Brien tells us that Ted Lavender was scared, so he carried 34 rounds when he was shot and killed, and he went down under an exceptional burden, more than 20 pounds of ammunition, flak jacket, the helmet, and all the rest, plus the weight of all that unweighed fear. We carry our pain with us into dark places, our fear, our formless dread. And those among our soldiers who are lucky and who are blessed eventually straighten their backs underneath even that burden and schlep along, guided by some other things that they carry with them like Joseph's bones, no matter what, because they dare not put them down. They carry pictures of the ones they love. They carry comic books and Kool-Aid packs. They carry cards sent from their friends back home, maybe even their friends at church. They carry silliness deep down in the soul and the memory of all those who went before, or 10 ounces of a love letter from a girl who will never love them back. And all of it becomes to them Joseph's bones, worth carrying, because of all the greater weight it alleviates. Worth bearing because that little weight is needed in the desert places to hold them down to earth and remind them who they are. When you walk into the darkest places of your life, what do you carry with you? Because it's 10 ounces of weight relieves the burdens of 1,000 hurts. When you emerge from your own great darkness, what do you carry then on the other side of the desert? Some will tell us, with evidence to support it, that this planet and this country are moving ever closer to becoming desert places, that the times they are a-changing and they aren't looking good. Global warming threatens the persistence of life as we know it. Erratic weather patterns interrupt our sense of order and security. And financial collapse makes what once seemed secure now shift like sand beneath our feet. For those of ominous inclinations, the desert seems to close in on us. And for those who are gentle and sensitive, it is an anxious time indeed. In a sense, we are all approaching the desert, humping our packs and all that we carry in them into unfamiliar terrain, and even once our soldiers get home from literal wars, they have a new, different kind of desert experience awaiting them in the home that they left behind. So many of the men and women of our armed forces come home after carrying so much and are asked to walk right back into this desert of ours of unemployment and financial hardship. They schlep our fears through distant and frightening terrain and come home to a desert right here, where instead of gratitude, all we have to give them is unemployment lines. On the brink of this desert into which we all seem to be walking, some feel that the only thing to do is cast dire warnings. We have no shortage of literal and figurative doomsday prophets in our time. People who fearfully caution us to put all our money in gold bullion and hoard water in our basements because the bad times are coming and our current thirst is only just a glimmer of the desert that awaits. And maybe they're right. Maybe you should hoard water. But even if you do that, I think we should also be hoarding hope so that we can carry it along with us no matter where the journey takes us. These days, some are even preaching a sort of economic and political repentance. Change your ways or it's all over. Do this or do that with the tax rate or the economy will continue to shrink and people will continue to go hungry. Elect this person or reject this policy or the desert will expand beyond our current imagining. I say somebody else can preach repentance in the desert times. Our faith preaches hope. And I say that when the bad times are coming, or if you are in the midst of the bad times right now, the best thing we can do, the most important work of all, is not to hunker down in our fear, but to call to mind that which we love and to hold it ever tighter, knowing that we will need the strength it brings us if we are to meet the days ahead. Let us just say that we are schlepping through the wilderness. Let us just say that everything is changing or has changed, that the financial crisis will not lift soon and jobs will not be easier to get and the environment will continue to deteriorate all around us. If this is a desert place we must march into together, let us gather up Joseph's bones. The photographs of those we love, let us call to mind our precious memories. Let us hoist high the bones of our fathers and set off into the wilderness places of our lives, ready to keep going even when it's hard. Because this journey we undertake has a purpose, a guiding force, a reason, and the things we carry define our reasons for continuing the journey. What do you carry with you into the difficult places? What are the Joseph's bones of your life that you dare not put down? What is the weight that is always worth carrying? I think we carry one another, which is among the greatest reasons that a place like this exists. When the desert times of your life approach, times when you feel like you are wandering and alone, you may indeed carry with you your brothers and sisters in these pews, the ones who have laughed and have cried and have sung with you. You may carry with you the fact of their love and their support, which is not a fantasy but a tangible reality. I also think we carry our ideals with us. Our vision of the kind of people we can be and the kind of world we can create. Even in the hardest of circumstances, we Unitarian Universalists uphold the power of the human condition to overcome adversity with courage, to answer moral failure with moral clarity, to be all that we can be, not as some lame advertising slogan, but as an honest spiritual exercise that guides us when all else fails. In our desert places, we carry laughter, the unmistakable exuberance of those who will always find humor in a broken world. That's what humor is, a sort of creative twisting of even our heartbreak into absurdity, changing even sorrow into a reason to go on. Into our desert places, we carry our faith in a God whose name is love, or in the indomitable spirit of a proud and powerful human being. We carry what we believe in, and we dare not put it down. We carry one another. We carry some faith in the human condition to overcome adversity. We carry laughter and music and a dream of a better world and some comprehending sense that such a place as home, where safety and security still exist, is there. We carry the hope that even if we keep on schlepping, if we keep on schlepping long enough, we may find ourselves once again in the end emerging from our desert places with new gifts and new burdens, ready to move forward after the long march into whatever awaits. What do you carry with you into the desert places? What reminds you to hope when you're in the toughest of times? What guides you when you are far from home? Hold it to you. Keep it tight. And may those bones of your ancestors, lovingly born, find their resting place in the land of your fathers after the long journey in whatever wilderness you may face is done. May it be so, and amen.